Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable! Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome to episode 84 of the Last Round Podcast. No Danny Z today, but I managed to drag in a good guest from over the pond back in England. I've got probably one of the fastest up-and-coming boxing coaches around, I would say, in Angel Fernandez. Angel, how's things back home in England?
I mean, thank you so much for that introduction, man. going well, you know, now with the lockdown kind of like start to kind of like again finish a bit more and looks kind of like things to start back up again in July. So looking forward to start and getting back into the boxing game again.
So just tell us your background and how you managed to you obviously get into boxing.
Well, I start kind of like long time ago, you know, I was like doing martial arts when I was in Spain. That led me to kind of like getting into kickboxing. And I was doing kickboxing for quite a while until my coach took me to the gym where this guy, his name is Alexis Callero, and he just won the professional super middleweight champion in Spain as a boxer. And kind of like you're going up there thinking, you know, I was quite big at the time as well, thinking kind of like the big I am. And man, the beating I got that day, it absolutely wake up something in me that I thought, you know what, I'm actually going to need to start working on boxing more than kind of like the kickboxing side of it. And that's where the love for boxing started. Start kind of like watching loads of DVDs of Ricky Hatton and things like that. And it's when I moved into England, and then it's when I started competing myself as an amateur. And then from there, it just kind of like all carry on, you know, and I had a few up and downs, and that's what I am today now.
How big is boxing in Spain?
It's not so big. I mean, to be honest, it's kind of like in here, if you go to a town, you're gonna find four or five gyms just within the same area. In Spain, you're probably like looking at somewhere kind of like London or New York or, you know, LA, maybe you'll find two gyms. So it's very hard. There is talent in there, but it's not as big as here. It's still kind of like a lot of people seeing, you know, the boxing as kind of like a violent sport and you know, kind of like a lot of people are kind of like scared of bringing the young kids into the gym because of that, really.
And then you came over to England and you worked at a few of the amateur gyms, is that right?
Yeah, I boxed for Epsom & Ewell, I boxed for Crawley, and then I went with my coach to Battle Bridge. And then kind of like the job I was doing, I was doing events, and I didn't know if I was going to sleep in the morning, if I was going to sleep in the evening or in the nighttime. Kind of like on the go, and I had to make a decision in terms of kind of like what is bringing me the money, and I kind of like I had to left the amateur boxing because I was not earning money for it, and I had to pay for bills, and when you got two kids, it's hard, you know. But then I left that job because I just could not handle it. Is when I went down through kind of like a big dip into depression, which I did talk in previous interviews. I was without work for a long time. I always been kind of like a sporty person myself, and people close to me start saying, "Angel, you like sports. Why don't you do kind of like a personal training course and you know and try and work in the gym or something like that?" And that's what kind of like I started doing. I done the course, then I start helping, you know, people here and there. And I was always trying to find a way of how I myself got back into boxing somehow. And I think I went for a few days just to try to kind of like coach, you know, the young amateurs. But when you get into an amateur boxing gym, they want you to do their way. And I'm kind of like a person that I like to think for myself, and that was something that it was not going to work. So I talked to my friend Danny Connor. You know, I said, "Could I just do kind of like the you know, the fitness side for you?" And he said, "Yes. Why don't you come to the gym? You know, speak to my coach and see if you could come like at least once a week or twice a week," which I did that. And funnily enough, being there, I said to the to his coach, you know, "Is there any way I could kind of like just help him, just to give water in the corner or, you know, do something?" And within a couple of weeks of being there, 2 to 3 weeks, his right hand left, and he said to me, would you want to be my right hand?" And I said, "Yes, 1,000,000%. Which start doing, and the problem is when, you know, when I was up there, I got message from that guy, because people started to kind of like wanted to do the training and the pads with me, but I never kind of like disrespect the trainer, because wherever I go, I always respect them, you know, as much as I can. And I got texts, and he said, "Listen, I don't need you no more." From there, I went to another boxing gym, which they allowed me to be myself a bit more, you know, just like, "Don't worry, in here, you're going to be able to do pads with that person. That's no problem at all." And start training Marcus Williams, which is a light heavyweight. But the problem is I was doing 6 a.m. in the morning, waking up, just doing my kind of like PT work, 3 hours, 4 hours, then driving into kind of like East London. There were 2 hours, 2.5, depending on traffic, training the guys in there, then come back to my work. And I was doing that for kind of like loads of months. And I was not looking for the money, because the personal trainer was allowing me to do the traveling into London. But I wanted to find something close to where I was. And I remember Marcus said to me, "Listen, if you moving, you know, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. And I found a place within 20 minutes from my house." And it was one of my amateur coaches at the time, Wayne in Sutton. And I started kind of like training Marcus. From there, kind of like another guy and another guy. And Isaac Chamberlain lost against O'Coley, and he moved into Sutton, and he was talking to Marcus. Both of them were good friends, and Isaac said, "You know, I mean, I left my coach, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what I'm going to do." And Marcus, "You know, why don't you come and just like try with this guy?" And he came, and, you know, my career since there kind of like went into a rocket. And October this year, you know, 2020, I'll do 2 years as a main coach.
See, that's the sort of thing that people don't see behind the scenes. I think for us boxing nerds, you know, we've known you've been around the game for some time, but some people just know you as, you know, the guy that came in to help Anthony Joshua. They don't see the 6 a.m. till 9 a.m., the grind you've been doing, you know, for virtually, you know, no money, just gas money, traveling around London. So, you know, it's good to see, you know, cutting your teeth and eventually, you know, coming out on top.
Yeah, 100%. It's not, I don't see myself on top, you know. It's a lot of work that needs to be done, you know, a lot of learning. I'm a person that kind of like never stop. And as I told you before, you know, like the work I do here, I like to spend a lot of hours in here just like reading. I've got a lot of books in here, which, you know, I learn from all kind of like different sports, from all kind of people. And obviously, you know, Joshua is the big name, and people, you know, relate me to him. But don't forget that I've been nearly 2 years again with Sultan Salbek, which is an amazing talent. I'm training now O'Hara Davies, Charles Frankham, you know, and Kes Asfak, just to mention a few. And I had good amateurs as well in the past, but obviously, you know, everyone relates kind of like my sort of work all of the sudden came into Anthony Joshua, but they don't know what's going behind and the hardships that, you know, each person goes through and the good times, you know, because we all go through hard times and good times, but all the things I went through the past in my life, I think it's been teaching me to be in the position and I am today, and I'm grateful, you know, for everyone that I have met and everybody that have given me the opportunities.
Do you think that having a martial arts background helped your transition into boxing? And do you think it makes you look at things maybe in a different way to a coach that's really just focused on boxing the whole time?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm kind of like, the thing is, I think, you know, there is that kind of like sort of questions from people that, you know, oh, you need to be a professional to be a professional boxing coach. Or, you know, everybody has got their views. But for me, because I didn't have kind of like a way of this is the way, or, you know, or you find one guy that took you for the whole entire career, you know, in one kind of like sort of method, I tend to see boxing in so many different ways. And that's why I'm trying to kind of like pass this openness and wide vision into my guys.
You know, before we started the interview, you kind of touched on how you look at, you know, different coaches and take different things. Can you give us an example of, you know, another coach from another sport and what you've taken from them?
I tend to look a lot kind of like Pep Guardiola, you know, from Barcelona. I like kind of like, I think it's not just the fact of what I picking from him. I kind of like, there is a lot kind of like similarities in terms of like the intense, you know, in training, the passion that we put in, the mindset, and kind of like just being obsessed in one way, you know, with everything I do. And I'm actually started to reading the book of Phil Jackson from The Bulls. And I saw the documentary on Netflix, and it fascinated me, kind of like the man that he just, you know, just through meditation, you know, American meditation, and look how successful he was. So I'm just going to read into that next and pick little things, you know, because I'm sure kind of like any other coach would do the same. In this world, it's kind of like you never know everything. There is always kind of like something new that you could learn.
It's funny that you actually said Phil Jackson, because my next question was going to be, does Phil Jackson has a phrase where he says that let each player discover his own destiny. Jackson's goal wasn't to provide all the answers. I've always been interested in players, to getting players to think for themselves so they can make a difficult decision in the heat of battle, which I thought relates really to boxing, because you only get a minute, maybe 50 seconds by the time they've sat down. You know, when something goes wrong in O'Hara Davis's fight or anybody in your stable, if you've taught them how to think for themselves, and obviously they can overcome that. So I thought that related to boxing, you know, very well.
100%, you know, you got to take, you know, different things from like different coaches, regardless of the sports, you know, the way also kind of like they training and they analyze things, or kind of like how they work in this particular area or how they work the defense. That's all kind of like transferable into boxing, because end of the day is the method itself, you know, and then it's you that you kind of like start putting your own ideas into that particular method, and, you know, then let the magic happen.
For something like that, to get them to think for themselves, is that, would you use like something like sparring and then kind of, you know, set them, say like, you know, this is going wrong, like what would you do? So they answer that themselves instead of looking to you for all of their answers.
Yes, I'm a kind of like coach where I'm trying to give as much of all my knowledge, you know, for everything I'm looking, or everything that I'm studying, I'm trying to be as kind of like, as you would say, as knowledgeable as possible, and pass that knowledge onto the boxer. And then it's down to him, because end of the day, it's down to those 3 minutes. The guy is going to have to be able to adjust to situations, and he's going to have to, you know, go through so many things. And the more you give into that boxer, I think the better is. And then within that minute, you just, you know, you will try to kind of like, whatever the situation might be, you will try to calm the person. And with instructions, just try to be clear, you know, just like 3 things that the guy could take straight on, and then you just got from there, really.
Another huge thing that, you know, I think in all of sports nowadays is, you know, mind focus and mind performance. What do you do to help your boxers?
There is so many ways that you could help the guys in terms of like mindset and things like that. I mean, that is just kind of like a bit of a personal thing. And it's down to the individual, really. You know, some people, they have very, very strong mentality, and it's only a couple of things that you could adjust there. And then some people, you know, in the kind of like points, because I tend to kind of like the way I do, I look things in terms of mindset, I kind of like tend to write points. And then I tend to kind of like see each person what they need within that point. And so if, let's say, for example, like O'Hara comes to me and he's lacking belief or something like that. So it's something that I will start kind of like reading. How can I kind of like bring this guy and start to believe in himself? So that's at the same time as I teach O'Hara, I'm learning. So when I work with any guy, is one teach but to learn at the same time.
Do you what do you think of Lomachenko's training methods? Because he has obviously, you know, the brain and mental focus where, you know, he'll play a game of chess or he'll have that light board. So, you know, when he's fatigued, his brain's used to working under, you know, working whilst it's tired, shall we say?
I mean, Anatoly for me is a science. You know, he's incredible. And why Lomachenko is doing what he's doing? Because he's doing something different than everybody else is not doing. Some people obviously is going to see the things that he does. Oh, but how can you relate that to boxing? And I'm not a person that I like to criticize other kind of like methods, but listen, that man is definitely doing something right because he's working so good with Lomachenko, and he's also working good with Usyk. But again, the methods for me works for them. Maybe that sort of methods, you know, is not going to work for somebody else. And it's down to you as a coach, what you believe really. And it's down to kind of like that boxer that he believes what you're trying to say to him.
Have you taken anything like that from Anatoly or any other coach that you use?
Yeah, I love the stuff kind of like they do in terms of kind of like put the mind under pressure in terms of like they're probably like going through training and then kind of like they start to looking at kind of like maths numbers and it has to kind of like do this, do that. And it's bizarre because when you're tired, you know, and you've got to kind of like keep that focus into something. And realistically, that is just like training the mind. So when you in those 3 minutes, your particular focus into it. And I'm looking more into it. And I do like that stuff. I actually approached the company, which is an Australian company, with I think is the screen they do, you know, with a little kind of like points and things like that on the screen with the numbers. And it's something that I would definitely be interested in doing, but I'm not able to do it at the moment because I'm kind of like with Josh in one gym and then, you know, Harry in another gym and kind of like Charles in another gym. So now I'm going to be able to kind of like work from one point, which is going to be Loughborough University. I'm moving up there, hopefully July time. And this is going to be my setup. And I'm going to have the gym the way kind of like I believe is going to take the best out of these guys. And hopefully, you know, from there, people will see a different me.
The old phrase that boxing is 90% mental, 10% physical. What's your opinion on that?
100%. Kazi Yamato believe that 75% is mental and the rest is physical and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I've got it up there for me because I kind of like try to tend to work on different things, but mindset is a big thing, you know, and how I like to put it to kind of like my guys is if you have two people with the same abilities, the same, exactly the same, what is going to differentiate them? And it's going to be the mindset. So it's a massive, massive part. And you look at all the greats in different sports and they all have different things, but they have one thing in common and it's a very strong mindset.
So if I walk through your door as a young boxer and I've got all the talent in the world, but I don't have it mentally. What would you do as my coach, or you know, potential coach, to try and change that?
I'll try to kind of like get to know you, get inside you, you know, have that relationship as not just as a coach and as a boxer, but have a bit kind of like more close, you know, just like, I would say more kind of like a dad, like a brother, you know, someone that you could look up to and have that respect. And once you have that, the rest is easy, really. The first thing is just to get to know that person and have that connection with that person, because when you have that, whatever you're going to say to that person is going to believe it. So then it's just kind of like a work on a daily basis in terms of like, make you see things, you know, talking to the person constantly. And remember that belief is going to come on a day-to-day basis. You know, once you start seeing things in sparring, in the training, you know, because at the beginning, obviously you're going to have going through that sort of frustration because things are not working or I'll go cool with that, sure. But over a period of time, then things are to start kind of like start clicking together, and you know, your belief is start going higher. So then your belief is going to be strong. Then you're working into something else. And it's a process. I mean, boxing is a process. And you know, the good thing is for me, what I'm trying to kind of like teach to my guys is, let's look for you know, to master excellence, because it's something that we were never going to be able to achieve it and to get it. But it's, to me, it drives me every day. That's what makes me kind of like do what I do on a daily basis. And that's what I'm trying to transmit to my guys to do.
Another old phrase that you hear banded around boxing is, does the coach make the fighter, or does the fighter make the coach?
In terms of... So I think boxers born with style. I don't think it's the coach who gives the style. It's down to the coach to take that particular style and take it to the next level. Yes, I believe it in that way. But I don't believe in the coach to give a particular style to the boxer. I think the boxer just naturally does the way, and then it's kind of like a molding that sort of a style and take it to the next step. And I put an example as like Cristiano Ronaldo plays exactly the same since he was a kid. Leo Messi exactly the same. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and then it's down to the coach to take that into the next level. So it's kind of like a 50-50, I would say.
Another one that you hear quite a lot is, should a fighter, like this is obviously in your, as a coach, should a fighter go out on their shield, or should they live to fight another day?
It's down to the day. Some people would definitely kind of like put their lives on the risk. I mean, regardless of, you know, from round one, your life is on the risk in there. But this sport is for intelligent people, you know. I would just kind of like leave it there, you know. I mean, the heroes, we all know where the heroes are. But that doesn't mean that kind of like you're going to quit at the first kind of like punch that you feel or anything like that. But you got to understand when you get to kind of like that particular, as you would say, like punishment, you know, and you know when enough is enough. And maybe if you carry on a bit more, that person is going to get hurt. And you got to understand when that's the point of saying, listen, this is it today. There is no way I'm going to reverse this back, and there's going to be another day. So I'm just going to say, like, let's live for another day.
Is that something you talk about with your fighters?
100%. 100%, because this is a serious business, you know. In this sport, everyone kind of, like, talks about boxing or trains about boxing, but it's all good and truly. But the moment that you get hurt and you feel that, some people it's not the same after that. And some people makes them better, you know, once they get hurt and they go, whoa, hang on a second, I better wake up, or I better start doing something different, you know. But then some people cannot recover from that, and they never ever try, you know, to be back to what they used to be. But definitely that's a thing that, you know, you definitely kind of like you need to talk to a the boxers. And as I said, I tend to ask them a lot of questions, you know. And then I tend to kind of like study the situation and go from there.
Kind of rolling it back a little bit, but we forgot to mention you actually studied under Jorge Rubio and Ismael Salas when you were starting your career.
Yeah, Jorge was kind of like my main guy, you know, the kind of like the guy that I saw a lot of the stuff, you know, in terms of like the footwork. And I was watching the cameras, you know, every day I could spend hours and see how he was working with people. But then again, it's something I would not say that he's teaching me everything that I know now, because what you see, and even if I go and teach somebody else, you know, that person is going to go, you know what, I like this from Angel, but I don't like this. So I'll pick the stuff that I believe kind of like it was going to help me with the way I think. And with Salas, I mean, one day I asked him, you know, loads of questions, what I wanted to know. And I went from there. But as I said, you know, I think it's like experience and on a day-to-day basis where you're getting better and better and better. And again, is a non-stop kind of like learning, you know, with some people, they kind of like, oh, I'm here, I'm comfortable, you know, I'll work with that guy or with that guy, and this is me. No, I don't see it that way.
How was it, you know, watching Salas? Because I'm sure when you were with him, that was when Linares was at his peak.
Yeah, I mean Salas is an amazing coach, you know. I mean, 21 to 23 world champions himself. Jorge Rubio, again, incredible coach, you know, worked with the best fighters in the world. But again, you cannot neglect, I mean, Cuban coaching, amazing footwork, you know, maybe lacking a bit of upper body movement. But then it's, you know, how to pick the things that you like and the things that you don't like, and this is working. And then again, you know, I done stuff with my guys that it worked, and then I went with, you know, with Josh and go, okay, Josh sometimes goes, no, it just doesn't feel right. And then you change it. So that's a new thing that you're learning. So you go, okay, so maybe for the next guy, you know, I'm going to try this way. And that's, it's an ongoing process, you know.
Another thing I saw that is also you try to change training every day. So, you know, the fighters come in, they're awake, they're looking forward to training because it's not the same session every single day.
Yeah, because, I mean, boxing is a very repetitive sport on itself. And the way I'm trying is just like, just keep them focused. I'm not tend to kind of like train them for like 2 or 3 hours because obviously the focus and it's kind of, you know, so I try to kind of like, as soon as they come in, I try to kind of like in the warm up, you know, on the skills that we do is, again, I've got a system of working, you know, and it's done to me how I kind of like on a daily basis, I tend to do different things, but doing that doesn't mean that I'm changing what I'm trying to work on. So I could work on someone that is lacking defense. I could be doing the same thing in terms of, basically, I could teach what I want you to teach in so different approaches. So to the fighter, it looks different, but to me, it looks the same. So it's kind of like so many roads that could is going to take you to Rome. So that's what I'm trying to do, because I tend to feel that if I would do the same every day, like coming, skipping, shadow boxing, pads, bags, finish, that fighter will have to have a very kind of like strong desire on the inside to kind of like keep that on a day-to-day basis and keep on coming and just like learning new things. So to me, I tend to kind of like make them focus a lot.
You seem to be a bit of a creator, innovator. Where do you get all the ideas? Just from video, books?
Sometimes my mind is working 24/7. I mean, I don't kind of like to say these things, you know, like just to say to kind of like, especially kind of like on a podcast and things like that. But the people that knows me, they know how I am. I mean, you're seeing me now, just myself in here. I'll show you some of my stuff. day these days that I come here, I read the stuff and I'm just staring at this wall, and I go, okay, how come I'm gonna do this? And I've got Monday, I've got this, okay, so I could do that. And then I delete that the following day, and it's like I'm going to bed and I'm thinking, and then obviously, you know, I'll pick stuff from as I said, from any other sport. The way football does, for example, like they might take sometimes drills into a very small part in the pitch, and they make that transition so fast. Barcelona used to do that, you know, like one touch in like a small square. So I'll go, okay, so how can I do that and put that into boxing? So I might go and I just walk in the center of the ring, or I might work in the corner of the ring, or I might work into the side of the ring. So and I try to make that space small, and then I could go, okay, so I'm going to teach you defense, I'm going to teach you attack, or I'm going to teach you kind of like so many different ways. And that's the way I see things, you know. I'm not kind of like a creator. I feel more of kind of like I am an innovator, you know. Thief of ideas, really.
Could you just kind of describe the wall? Obviously, I saw it, but with it being a podcast, could you kind of just give the listeners a description of what's actually on the wall?
So basically, on one side, I've got the key areas for performance. So what I believe a fighter will need to take the best out of them. So within there, I've got like spirit, well, mind, body, and spirit. So it's the foundations, the physical, the technical, and the tactical. I tend to kind of like pull what my philosophy is, what my beliefs in terms of like what I'm trying to teach, where is it coming from, and that's kind of like when I show these things to my fighters, then they get to understand where I'm coming from and the things kind of like I'm trying to teach to them, so they feel confident. They feel confident because this is written. This is what I believe. And obviously, it's not just this. It's obviously kind of like I learn from my fighters as well. Like, I'll just give you an example. Sultan can come to me like three weeks before a fight and say, "Angel, listen, I feel picked. I don't want one sparring." And this is a guy that had 376 amateur fights. I cannot just go and say like, no, but you know, some coaches might stop sparring 10 days before the fight, some coaches a week before, some coaches 2 weeks before. And I have to also have that confidence in the fighter. You know, if he's telling me that, I have to go with it. And so far it's been working, but if it doesn't work, then I'll go, Sultan, you know, next time we're going to try to do it my way. But unfortunately, in this sport, it's very kind of like the moment you have that loss is different and it's hard because when the fans get to see what is actually going behind, and it's an actual process, because there is no great in the world that went all the way through without making mistakes, you know, because within the mistakes, they either break you or they either make you even better. And Jordan and, you know, Messi, Ronaldo, and so many others, you know, Ali as well, they got better after you know, having that sort of kind of like losses. So then I've got the mindset, I've got different points in here, what each point, so I'm just going to give you one, discipline, and then I'll put discipline is the ability of what you need to do when you don't feel like it. I've got another one, winning drive, the fighter must act like a champion and imagine clearly in himself that he's already winning even before the fight. So that's just to give you kind of like a few different points. Then I've got the training. So what we do in training, and this is the whys. This is why I'm doing my things. And then also whenever they come with questions, you know, because I like that. And if I don't know the question or the answer, I'll kind of like try to do the research or think about it and then come back the following day and give him that particular answer. And then on the other side, I've got the system, the way kind of like I work. So they get to see kind of like what they do on a daily basis, well, each day in general. And then it's down to me to have that kind of like creativity in terms of like changing a few things here and there. I've got different ways of kind of like how to work on sparring, you know, the minutes, the mini rest and things like that. So I've got different kind of like ways and it, there is a why, you know, I mean, everything I've written here, there is days where my mind is kind of like working and then I'll go, yeah, okay. But when it actually is here, and it's done, it's been kind of like in my mind and it's been going to bed with me for kind of like a few days and I think and I rethink and I delete it and then I went back. So it'll work. It'll work and I truly can't wait to be in love for it, you know, and hopefully, you know, put all this stuff and my beliefs and my fighters' beliefs into the great sport of boxing, because there is not one way. You know, each coach has got their methods. You know, I believe that it's not wrong, that it's not right. Each person is just different, and you know, I'm truly grateful. You know, to be what I am and doing what I'm doing.
Do you set short term and long term goals for your fighters?
Yes, 1,000,000%. You know, and they have to have a purpose for doing it. I remember. I mean, I think I sent a message to Kes, to Hara, in terms of like what they want to achieve in boxing. You know, what's your purpose? I wanted to know why you're doing this, and you know, three questions just to keep things simple. But each kind of like question, they could have like kind of like a slightly bigger answer from them. So I get to see their answers, and I remember kind of like, well, Harris is a character, because he was always coming with like questions back and questions and answers this and I'm like ba, and then he went, you know what, I'm actually gonna give this one to you, because I don't know what books you're reading, but it actually is making sense. Because he did say to me, a champion is not about the belts, and I said, of course not. I mean, obviously, you have to have the belts to be a champion. But a champion for me is now. You don't need to have the belt to be a champion. So you have to act, you have to train, and you have to fight like a champion, even if you don't have the belt. And this is the moment from your debut, because when you have that in your mind, and when you believe and you act and you train and you fight like a true champion, you're going to get up there.
How have you managed to keep all you guys healthy during the lockdown, especially mentally, you know, the concentration and focus with, you know, everyone's cooped up at home?
It's hard. It's, you know, I've been doing kind of like a few Zoom calls to them, you know, just like to see kind of like how they're doing, you know, just like working on different particular kind of like drills. But it's not the same, especially with guys that I didn't have the opportunity of kind of like fully kind of like get to work with himself. So with Ahara was slightly easier, because I already done a camp with him, so kind of like the things I was telling on the phone, he was just like, yeah, okay. And with guys was kind of like constantly stopping, coming in, and you know, this is the way, and then I have to show it. So it was a bit it was a bit difficult, but again, you know, just to not overcomplicate them, just to have that little rest, you know. We had a good S&C, you know, in Ricky. He was putting, you know, some of the runs and the training. And then also he was calling them, you know, through Zoom just to do the training, to keep them focused. But nothing major, just to tick over, you know, just keep them healthy, you know. And the good thing is all of them, they just can't wait to get back into the gym.
Tell us how it came about that you actually managed to get O'Hara.
I was actually on holiday in Dubai, and Lee Eaton contacted me and he said, would you do me a favor? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Would you train O'Hara for me for the golden contract? And I'm like, O'Hara Davies. I'm like, oh my God. I think I kind of like took like 1 or 2 days to actually respond to that. but then again, you know, and I said in the past, I should not judge the man through social media, you know, and that was my mistake, because when you get to know the person, is a completely different guy than he comes across on social media. The problem is obviously that the things that he said in the past, which, you know, I don't agree with, but we are learning from mistakes. No one is perfect, you know, and whoever believes that he's perfect themselves, so threw the first stone. But listen, I like the guy, and I hope, you know, we could go far in this game.
Do you think it's kind of a bit of an image, a bit of a gimmick, the social media side, because he knows you get paid? You know, if you go out there and you say all these wacky things, you know, people are going to watch the fights. Like his recent spat with Anthony Fowler, for example.
Yes, that was just madness. I mean, I'm not kind of like a person that spent a lot on social media, to be honest. But obviously, we in the group, and you know, Kes was sending the stuff, because Kes is actually friends with O'Hara and friends with Anthony, and sending the stuff. Then O'Hara was on and on and on, and I kind of like, it's just the people that start sending me stuff, and I'm like, "Whoa, hang on a second, this is starting to get serious here." And I actually went to O'Hara and I said, "Listen, buddy, you better gonna do something, you know, because you're acting with emotions." But then again, sometimes when you do that as a fighter, you just think in the fight itself. And I kind of like, I understand the man, why, the reasons why, because he has got things that he believes. And for me as a coach, is I have to make this man think that this is not right, because it's too heavy and he's not going to happen with me in the corner. That's for sure. And if that fight happens, and I'm telling you this now, I will not be there in that corner.
When he first came, did you have him on like a week's trial just to see whether it was going to work out between you two?
Yeah, I had a chat with him on a, I think we went for like a coffee on a Sunday, and we had like a long chat, and I said, one of my things is I'm a humble man, and your social media has to be under control. And I kind of like put a few points, he put a few points, and he went, you know what? Yes. And all went well until the day of the weigh-in, where O'Hara didn't want to jump in because he knew he was a bit overweight, and he started kind of like making, you know, just start telling the coach, "You around here," until I kind of like just tapping on his shoulder, said, "Just listen, just jump in there," you know. And he was overweight. We went upstairs, and I was absolutely fuming. And he went, "I'm sorry, you know, I'll see you," and you're pissed off. And I was like, "Bro, you knew you was overweight, man. Just do the talking tomorrow. You know that I'm a person that I just do the talk where he needs to be. You know, obviously I understand the mind games and things like that, just to make the other fighter believe X, Y, and Z. But listen, if you work hard and the camp went well, you know, just wait till tomorrow, because that's going to do more talk than the actual talk itself before the fight."
But his performances so far under you in the Golden contract have been good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the last fight, he did well. Obviously, after the fight, you know, I was constantly saying to him, do not underestimate this man, you know. And obviously O'Hara is quite hard, you know, and that happened to so many fighters, you know, when they fought a certain level and they kind of like fighting someone that he probably never had a title, he never been in kind of like in a hard fight, or he never fought nobody in terms of kind of like known. Obviously O'Hara did say at the end, you know, I underestimated him, and that was something that I was telling him on a daily basis. But we learned from it. And there were a few kind of like, obviously, mistakes here and there, which I did say straight away. And yeah, we're looking forward, you know, to keep learning and just keep pushing.
Another one in your stable, Charles Frankham. Anything scheduled for him? Anything, any dates coming up?
For Charles, No, we just like kind of like we need to talk to Dave Caldwell, his manager, you know, with Eddie. Hopefully, you know, the point before this pandemic, you know, try to keep him as busy as possible. It's only 20, 2-0. Again, you know, it's like a lot of things, you know, to learn, and it's a long process with him. But hopefully, you know, we're looking, I don't know, September, October time, just basically just to see when that he shows and when we could put him. So the sooner the better, and the more fights, the better as well.
Without putting too much pressure on his shoulders, he looks like he's got a big future in the game.
Yes, he done so good, you know, as an amateur. And what I'm trying to kind of like bring onto him back is kind of like what made him successful in the amateurs is just try to kind of like make that transition slightly be easier, but bring him back what he was good at. And he's only 20, he's still a baby, and hopefully, you know, he'll have a big future ahead of him.
Sultan, any dates or any news on him?
Sultan, I think, you know, they probably were talking about August in Kazakhstan, but it's one of the things that see how his hand is healed, you know, because he's been with this kind of like issue for a few fights. It kind of like, I think the tendon was kind of like getting inflamed, you know. But Sultan is my baby boy, you know. I mean, I could say so many things about him. He's one of these things that us pretty much we started together, you know, from fight one. We've been together. He's been so loyal to me. I've been so loyal to him. And we're talking on a regular basis, you know, with the translator in the group, and we call each other. But for me, I hope, you know, that me and that man will go all the way together.
He's another one with that amateur pedigree. He should have a huge future in the game. If, as long as the fights fall well, injuries-wise and stuff like that, he could go all the way.
Yeah, 100%. He's a very young talent as well, you know, 23 years of age. He's big for the way, you know, southpaw. Amazing fighter. He has got an incredible purpose, you know, for what he's doing, and that's a good thing. And again, you know, just like keeping him learning in the gym, you know, bringing, you know, better sparring, the training, and just looking, you know, into the fights and slowly progressing him, and hopefully, you know, he'll become a world champion at one point.
And what, I'm not too sure, do you still have Isaac Chamber?
No. I'm not training Isaac no more.
He's gone. Yeah. Obviously, AJ, obviously you're part of AJ's camp now. Can you just explain to us how that came around?
With Josh again, you know, he started kind of like follow me just way before the Ruiz fight. We had a few, you know, talk, just like thank you for the follow and things like that, because when he followed me, I'm like, no way. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I did say, you know, like, thank you so much for the follow. You know, wow, I really appreciate this. You know, it means a lot to me. And respond back. And then after the Reese fight, again, I did say that I was with Sultan in Cardiff. And Joshua was fighting on that day. And the following day, because I didn't stand just to watch the fight, because I was so tired of like being with Sultan then in Cardiff, the journey in the car and on the fight and blah, blah, blah. And as soon as I got back to the hotel, I just hit the bed and boom. And I woke up the following day and I was kind of like, so, wow, he lost. No way. It's a strange feeling, you know. I felt something and I said that this man, he's going to come to me. And a few days later, you know, I got texts from him, you know, and we went from there. And ever since, you know, I'm grateful to him. I'm grateful to his whole team, you know, for the great opportunity that they have given me, because I could never, ever believe this, even in the biggest dreams of my life.
Were you kind of nervous going into camp because all those long days, all those days of kind of like working for free came down to that kind of, I don't know, trial period of walking in and working with AJ?
Not nerves. I was like, wow, do you know what? I'm going to be in a camp where this man is going to be fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world. And for me, it was like, wow. I mean, more than what I'm going to learn, you know, and what I'm going to pass on to my guys, because once you've been at that level, there is so many things that you could pick and go on to, you know, the other guys I train, and I say, listen, you know, this man has been in this fight, and, you know, these are the things that I think he could help you or he could not help you. And I just went with a lot of hunger, you know, a lot of hunger for learning. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. I think when they said, you know, like, I'm the new from London, I just broke in tears, mate. I broke in tears because I know what it took me, you know, to be in the position that I am today. You know, like, I've been through many hardships in my life, lots of highs, lots of lows, and on that particular day, everything came out. I'm emotional when it comes to that, but I'm not bringing emotion when I'm training my guys, so which is different. And for me, everything through works and the thing that I left my mom and dad when I was 18 years of age, and I went to seek for a better life and more money, you know, and just try to support my parents as well. And everything came out, you know, and more than just like this little kid, you know, they just came from this small town where there is not even one boxing gym in my town. Great athletes that represented Spain, you know, in the Olympics, but nothing to do with boxing. And for me to come out and from that particular kind of like town, from a very humble family, and be in this fight, one of the biggest fight in boxing history, you know, and be part with one of the biggest names in boxing is something that I could still be talking, you know, in generations to come, you know, to my grandchildren in the future, and hopefully great grandchildren. So it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
You mentioned taking, you know, things from AJ's camp and taking them back to your fighters. Is there anything in particular that you took?
The way that kind of like Joshua is, you know, he's a guy, very intelligent guy, you know. I'm learning on a daily basis how he conducts himself, how he's in the gym, his focus, his mentality, he's willing to learn new things. He's an incredible human being, and not just to my fighters, but also to kind of like myself, how to conduct, you know, and how to be a champion. Because obviously, when you that name, you're gonna have big fans, you know, that are going to kind of like love you, and then you're gonna have like a big also kind of like percentage of fans that are going to hate you. But it's part of the game. But once you get to know that man, listen, not because I'm with him, because I'm a totally honest person. I talk from my heart. If I don't like one person, I don't like one person. I'm not hanging around. And I've got a lot of respect for that man, for how he is. And I'm taking boxing away just as a person itself.
Obviously, earlier we kind of spoke about the mental side of things. How is Joshua? Does he have that, you know, he's an elite person, top of the game. Would you say he has that championship mindset?
Yes, 1,000,000%. Remember that he went straight away into finding the guy that he lost to, and in that sort of kind of like a dramatic, you know, style, if we could say. And coming back from that loss and the way he lost the fight, and coming back and did what he did for 12 rounds and maintaining that focus, I mean, that shows true character. That shows, you know, not just character, personality, strength, and so many things, you know.
Is that something that he works on, the mental side? Does he have like a sports psychologist or anything that he works with?
Yeah, there is a guy in the team, you know, that helps him with that, but not just himself, just like any person. I had chats with him, you know, when we were in camp, you know. Obviously, it's nice to have that kind of like person that you have, as you would say, kind of like maybe your doubts in something, or kind of like you might think, you know, oh, this might not work, and you go to him and it makes you kind of like just see things differently. But Josh is a very, very strong mental person, very, very strong. He knows what he wants, and he's a very driven person, because, come on, with all the money that he has earned in boxing, he doesn't need to prove anything to nobody. So many people will just go, you know what, I done my thing, and this is me. I'm done. And the guy is driven for more.
Obviously, they announced the Fury and Joshua fight, hopefully for next year, if Tyson wins. Obviously, Joshua's got a fight against Pulev that he has to win. I assume you'll be in camp with AJ for that next year?
Yeah, hopefully, you know. Again, it's a great fight. Both fighters won the fight, because that is the best vs the best. Simple as that. And that fight will go down in the history of boxing for years and years and years and years to come.
Without kind of giving away too much, and I don't even know if you can really answer it, but how would you prepare Joshua to beat Fury? Because Fury has shown now he can fight on the back foot, he can fight on the front foot, and he's a self-proclaimed, you know, like master boxer. He really can do everything. He's very different for a heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a very interesting question. You know, I mean, I could answer that question. But don't forget that Joshua has his main coach, which is Rob McCracken. He's got Joby as well, you know. But Joshua showed a different aspect to his boxing, you know, more versatile. He's a person that is still learning on a daily basis. And don't forget, he's got Pulev, you know, in front of him. And then let's look at that, you know, sparring and the things, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to make a great fight. It is going to be a great fight. And everybody has got their weakness, regardless if you could fight on the front foot, if you could fight on the back foot, if you're great defensively, if you're great, you know, on the attack. Everybody has got weakness. And if Josh is able to expose that, and that timing is there, anything can happen.
Do you see a weakness in Tyson?
Yeah. Loads of wins, yeah. As they probably will say, loads of wins in Joshua. That's what makes great this sport, you know. So many great champions, you know, myself as a coach, I see weakness in Muhammad Ali, and you know, so many other kind of like trainers will see weaknesses in the guys I train. But again, yes, I definitely see weaknesses in him, yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
This is... what I would like to be. Mm-hmm. I would like to have my, you know, my own world champions, have a good team, you know, and supply my family with, you know, what they have been giving me for so many years, you know. One of my dreams is hopefully to go to my mom and dad and just like be able to pay them like a nice holiday, to buy them a house and to show them like, listen, you know what, thank you so much. I know that I'm talking materialistic, because the love is there, you know, I mean, and love, there is no money that can buy that. But to me, is something that has been in my mind for a very long time, and be able to buy my mum and dad a house and myself to be one of the greatest coaches in history. That's what I'm driving for, to put my name in the boxing books.
Will you always keep a fairly small stable? Because obviously, each fighter takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. I would never ever kind of like going to be end up with so many fighters, because I know myself how long each guy takes me. And this is not just the gym itself, you know. I put a lot of pressure onto myself. And each fighter takes me not just the 2 hours that I am, or the 3 hours or 4 hours, whatever you want to say, is the hours that I'm in my house doing what I need to do. And it takes me a lot of time. And for me, five guys, maybe six pushing it.
With the wall and all the notes you make, will we ever see a little training guide, a book?
Down the line, in years to come, and if I achieve what I believe I will achieve, 100%, but more in terms of like my life, you know, my autobiography, you know, of what I come from, and try to trust me into others, that regardless your background, regardless your, you know, that the things that are going now around the world with, you know, blacks and whites, regardless all of that, you can achieve. If you believe it, you could achieve anything, you know. If you're poor, if you're not poor, if you put it into your mind and you put the efforts and you put the hours and you put the work in, you'll definitely get it.
You could probably write a book just about having O'Hara in camp.
Well, that 1,000,000%. Just in one camp, you know. Jeez. Oh my God, the back and forwards. But he's seriously, but he's a very intelligent man, you know. He comes across like a nutter on Twitter, but he's a very, very intelligent man. He really knows what he wants, and he's very, very sharp. Very sharp. Incredible, incredible character. Incredible. But the thing is, in terms of, like, as you said before, like, about my knowledge and how I see things, is passing this onto the next generation. And hopefully the next guys to come, they get to see this and they'll pick what they want, the way I was working, and then they put their own thing and they make their own, you know, way of seeing things. That for me will be legacy.
I think that's a good place to kind of leave it. If you want to promote any of your social medias, anything that you want to shout out, your businesses, your fighters, the floor is yours.
Yeah, just like follow, you know, my guys, you know, Sultan Salbek, Kesh Hasfak, Charles Frankham, O'Hara Davis, and obviously Anthony Joshua, and myself. I am Angel_Boxhill on Instagram and Twitter.
I just want to give out a shout out to Riku at Lead Right on Twitter. He managed to set this up for me. And catch us next week. We'll be back with episode 85 with a special guest. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.